I feel like the smarter I get and the better technology gets, the dumber I actually feel. Like, do you ever get that?
Oh, dude, I was literally talking about this yesterday. I was like, I don't know why. I just feel like I get dumber every week. Like, everything else is upgrading so fast around me that I'm like, I don't know. I can't keep up.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, this show is obviously not about us and our low IQs. Like, I was just telling him behind the scenes that I was in the Explore feed and I just see this dude hammering the hell out of this Woodway treadmill. I mean, dude, you look like you're beating this thing to death. And you reminded me a lot of my friend. I don't know if you've ever heard of a runner named John Albin. He's got a – he used to race obstacle racing with us, and okay. Now he's in the kind of like the UTMB level of running.
Okay.
He won CCC last year. He's like freak, absolute yeah. freak. And he's got his treadmill up against the wall. And I was like, I'm just going to keep on watching this guy for a while. And I did. And then I ultimately just ended up being really inspired by you so much so that I pushed really hard. I was like, I can't be dealing with my piece of shit treadmill anymore. So we upgraded. We got a Woodway now. Yeah, no big deal.
Dude, it's a good investment when you're trying to take it serious.
You got to be honest with me. Like, I see you putting up splits where you're posting about doing like literally 410 miles on there. Like, how often are you really hammering that thing at that pace?
So actually recently I've been trying to work on my kick in the race, which
yep.
So like the last 400 meters. So really when I get to those speeds, it's kind of like if I have a workout on and it's, you know, let's just say like a 6x mile workout, I'm not yeah. averaging 410, but that last rep, the last kind of half mile, I kind of build. And honestly, the last 200 meters, I'm trying to break 4 minute mile pace. So yeah, like it's really something I've been trying to work on. So yeah, I've pushed that thing pretty fast. I had to, when I first got it, I had to kind of hack the system and take off the governor. So it goes, I don't know what the max speed for me now. I haven't reached it yet, but it's probably,
what is that, 15 miles an hour?
Yeah, 4 minutes is 15 miles an hour. So I've gotten like 15.3 on it, I think, 15.4.
Let's talk to Woodway. They have a I think it's a module or their system,
yeah, and it'll, no, I did that 18. Okay, I think I set it at like 16 or something, because I'm like, I'm not gonna go 18 miles an hour, like that's, I'll hurt myself.
Don't kid yourself.
I don't know what that, yeah.
This guy who's my running coach, this dude, Rich Diaz, used to put me in this thing that's like a baby bouncer, and it would suspend you so that you couldn't really get hurt.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's the caveat here. So don't try this without this thing. But he would get you to do over speed because of that muscle recruitment.
Yeah.
When you muscle recruit to do that super high speed, anything below that is a level of efficiency. So mm-hmm. It's just sub-maximal effort. So you can do things a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy used to bring me up to like 21 miles an hour. My hip flexors felt like someone had like Thai massaged me and ripped my hips out of my socket. But yeah. Then I would go and do our 4:30 minute intervals and it was nothing. I mean, it felt like putt-putt. It was yeah. like, I was just like, this is a game.
No, so, the speed is really important actually. And you know, I'm doing a 2-hour race, but like training your speed is, it's so important. Like if your legs get so bogged down from all the biking and like honestly just extra running and swimming, that if you don't do that, you're kind of gonna suck. So
yeah, I mean, WTS is like crit racing on the bike, so it's pretty, you know, it's up down, it's a fast, it's like Formula One on a bike, and then you're running like cross country.
Yeah.
And then the kick in WTS is insane.
Yeah, so I value the speed a lot, so I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, sorry, Hunter, I didn't mean to.
No, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you brought something up, and I was watching some content about you before this, and this is the cart before the horse, but since we're already on this topic, I was watching you race against that Vincent Lewis guy at the Olympics, and mm-hmm. they were saying he's a better runner than you, and I'm looking at some of your scores right now, and guys, just to give you context on this crazy fucker, 13:36 you ran in, or 13:32?
I did 13:36 on the track and then 32s on my road PR. So
13:32 on road, just to yeah. give people context, like that's pretty much 2 minutes faster than the best people in our sport right now. you got the mile of 413, 1500, 340, 34, 3000, 751, a sub 30, 10,000. I was watching a video of you not too long ago. You were at the cross country championships.
Yeah. US cross country.
You ran 27 there at 8K?
No, that was 29. I think my time was like 29:15 for 10K cross country. So those are the best, well, not the best guys in the country. Not everyone shows up, but that's like a world qualifier for cross country. So I actually qualified for the world champs in cross country. I'm not going, just focus on the Paris Olympics. So, that was like a really good race for me, running wise, probably my best one.
Out of curiosity, how much better can these guys be than you when you're in the 13 minutes, like the mid 13s for 5Ks?
The American record and the guys, his name's Grant Fisher. He's like still running. I think he's 12:47.
Well, that's in track, but I'm talking about in your guys' sport.
In triathlon.
Is this Lewis Vincent guy that much faster than you?
No, he's not a better runner than me. I don't know why they said that. He's a very accomplished athlete, especially triathlon, and he's been doing it for years and years. And so back in Tokyo, that was really my third season as a triathlete. So I think I was kind of an unknown back then. I mean, I had picked up some results along the way, but a guy like Vince, like people were just upset. I mean, people are just obsessed with that guy. I don't know.
It's veteran.
Excuse me.
It's just because he's a veteran. People love the fact.
Yeah. And I just think in France, like the short course triathlon is so popular and he's just been the best at it for years. So, people just love that guy. I don't know.
Well, he kind of came in after Javier Gomez left and then kind of took that spotlight. And so he was like, oh, well, Javier is out. Now we have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he's good. He's an incredible athlete. He's world champion twice, so he deserves it. But I wouldn't say he's a better runner than me. I think if you line us up.
I was confused. I was like, dude, I've been watching your stuff. I was just watching another video. So you were running with some dude the other day. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Parker.
Yeah, dude, and you guys were doing splits of 3 miles at like sub 5, another one faster than that for 3, and then the last one you guys did like a 4:30 mile at the end or something. And I was like, what the fuck?
No, I closed in 4:16, the last one, actually.
That's crazy. Who's doing that? There can't be many people on the circuit that can run that fast.
There's probably a few, but yeah, I don't think there's probably less than 5 that are probably running as fast as I can. I mean, less. I mean, I'm trying to win the big races this year.
How much do you weigh, by the way?
160.
160.
I haven't weighed myself in a couple of weeks. I'll get under, if I'm super fit, super lean, I'll get 156, but that's not really sustainable.
Yeah, and you're not short either though.
No, I'm 6 foot. Yeah. So I'm definitely a heavier, I mean, definitely for a runner, I'm heavier. Triathlon, I'm probably a little heavier than some guys, but not as, you know,
in the short course for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The triathletes tend to be heavier than runners, but yeah, I'm a bigger guy for the
Yeah, because I saw you in Malibu at the with Nick.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, he's taller than I thought.
Yeah, I'm 6 feet. So,
well, we just missed each other. I didn't come down to that race. He came down, and I was out of town.
You didn't miss much. I was just having fun out there. That was a tough one.
So, like, where did this, like, out of curiosity, I always like to know kind of the inception point. Like, when did you know that you were, like, a great? Because now you're an Olympian. Like, you went to the Olympics. And you have to know that you're great, dude. Like, you went to the Olympics. You qualified again for the Olympics. You're running in the 13s. Like, you know, that's bizarre.
Yeah, I think – so I went to college. I swam growing up. Like, I want to say I started in third grade and then – started running in middle school, 7th grade. And just, you know, I wasn't, you know, I'm sure everyone said, oh, I wasn't that talented, but I really wasn't anything special, especially in swimming. Running, I was definitely a little bit more talented. I went to the cross country nationals in high school. And then I ran in college and I was actually quite good in college. I was all American a bunch of times, but, you know, never winning the NCAAs or anything like that. So after college, I was like, you know, I want to give the triathlon a try because for me, the ultimate, you know, I want to compete against the best in the world. You know, that's like the ultimate thing for me. Like whatever you're like, whatever you're choosing, you want to be the best in the world. And the triathlon seemed like my best sport, even though I had never really done it. So I reached out to USA Triathlon in 2017. And yeah, I mean, I just started full-time training in 2018. And I think that first year, you know, I had a lot of up and down results, but that's when I like started really believing like, okay, I can make the Olympics in 2020, even though it would be like really early in my career. And then I think I was like, if I make the Olympics in 2020, my goal will be to medal in 2024. So I've kind of been on track for that since. I mean, things changed a little with COVID. I had an extra year to qualify and all that, but yeah, I'd say like that 2018 season, first year as a triathlete, I wasn't doing anything amazing, but I just, you know, there's World Cups, which is like a second tier race. And the first race I was top 10. My first WTS, I was like 14th, and it was like I was so fresh and so new, and I was already kind of in these races, and I was like, I'm just getting into the sport. So what can I do with a couple years of training and really dedication? And, yeah, so 2018.
At WTS, there's young kids in there that right when they get out of the juniors that are so veteran.
Yeah.
Racing. So that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like first WTS I did, I got 14th, which doesn't sound like anything crazy, but for, you know, that was my fourth, you know, triathlon like a pro triathlon. Most people spend years doing lower level races and all that. But the next one I did, I got lapped out on the bike. So that was actually really good for me too, because I was like, okay, I know I have it. I know I can be in the race, but I also know like I'm a beginner and I got to work my ass off. And just like, it was kind of a humbling, you kind of get both sides of the coin with that one. And, you know, it's really good. That was a really important race, the one I got lapped out of. I know it sounds, you know, I try to think about that sometimes and just kind of how it pushed me to want to improve.
I got beat a couple of years ago pretty bad. I've hated that day ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure you're using it as motivation and all that. So
100%.
No, he takes that kind of shit like Michael Jordan. He takes it very personal. I took it personal.
Yeah. So you grew up on the East Coast, and I see that we had some similarities. We're both East Coast kids with big hotshot business dads. Like, was your dad pushing you pretty hard, or did you just like, not at all?
My dad was, he was working a lot. So he really wasn't around a ton. Like he would come to some, you know, he'd be around a little and come to races, but, you know, he was probably more into school than track or swimming or triathlon. So he was like, he wanted us to get good grades and all that. And, he pushed me to go to Duke, which I went there for a year before transferring to CU Boulder. So that was kind of a thing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he definitely was working hard, and you know, I looked up to him in that sense. But
so where did you get your athletic endeavors from? Like, who was the athlete in your family?
Well, honestly, it's kind of like I had three brothers, and I think we were just so competitive growing up. Just like always wanting to beat each other. We were always in the same sports, like swimming. We did you know, junior lifeguards at the beach. Like we were just, you know, we would do that and we would race against each other and just want to kill each other. And just, you know, we'd be doing the swim and just pushing each other under and trying to drown each other. And just, I think it was really the junior lifeguards, just with my brothers.
Hardcore. Like my buddy's nephew has been in that in South Jersey since he's been younger. And now he's in high school and plays water polo.
Yeah.
And he's gotten really amazing at water polo just because of that whole line of junior lifeguard into lifeguard. And they do the competitions out there, and it's
brutal. Yeah. And the lifeguard. Yeah. Cause then you do junior lifeguards and then you do you're a lifeguard and they have the tournaments and like,
yeah,
they're competitive and they're fun. So, and just having brothers that it's just like a healthy amount of competition. I think, I mean, my mom ran cross country in high school and was all right.
There's your answer, Hunter.
Yeah. So, but
it's funny. I had three older brothers and None of them did sports. They beat they beat the shit out of me, and all of them are very successful now. So like, you couldn't not be successful in our household. The oldest one went to law school. The next one is a neurologist. The next one's a hedge fund manager. And you just, you can't not, like, you can't show up and be like, yeah, I smoked pot and rode my bicycle today. Like that, that's what I was doing until all of a sudden I had to like grow up and do something. Yeah. And you know, I picked up sports very late. Like I didn't even really do sports in college. I dropped out of college because I wanted to focus more on sports.
Wow.
So would you say that like Duke's a good school. I dated a girl who was a miler at Duke and like, it's very prestigious to, well, shit, you guys are probably around the same age. Do you ever meet a girl named Chloe Molesky?
Yeah. I know her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know her anymore, but I know her. I was the same grade as her. You can ask her about me if you want.
Yeah. So this is years ago. This is 2018. Yeah. And she went, and she was like, you know, she was a great athlete. I don't know if she had that great of a college career, but she was obsessed with track and field up until that point. Basically, I don't know. She never really made it there. This is not about her, but do you think going to CU was really the, like a catalyst point for you? Because I know CU's is a program and so is Duke, but did that prestige of going to Colorado change the game for you?
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, when I was at Duke, I was a freshman and if I wasn't the best guy, I was the second best guy. And it was like, it was cool and all that. But when I went to Colorado, I just basically got destroyed my first season. Like I didn't even make top seven, make varsity. And that was just like, dude, I was just like the hot shot at Duke, and now I'm just nobody. And it's kind of like, what do you want? Do you want to just be one of the guys, or you just want to keep pushing and get better? And you know, that was a huge thing. We had a great coach there. I mean, Colorado Boulder, it's like, for running triathlon, it's like, it's an incredible place to train too, which really helps. And just,
I lived and trained out of there for years. I was really in South Boulder. Yeah. So, you know, where like your guys have like your tennis courts.
Yeah.
I was in South Boulder. Yeah. And in the suburbs, just on the other side of that field. So when you're making those laps and stuff, I don't know if you ever ran on those trails out there.
Yeah. No, I did.
Facing El Dorado. I loved it.
Yeah. No, that's a really nice place.
But I never found you guys. Like I was always out there for training. I was doing CrossFit and our kind of stuff. So we were kind of more in the gym and then out on the trails. I never found you guys a lot. From when I did spend any time with the pro runners, you guys were mostly in North Boulder on those like really flat roads out there.
Yeah. The dirt roads out in North Boulder are like, we always do our long runs out there. It's just like, you could just go so long. Like you get a 20-mile run and not really have to double back at all. So
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just good running surface, you know, like those South Boulder trail that you're talking about, it's pretty rocky. I mean, I don't know how it was when you were training over there, but
cow holes and all those fucking shitty gophers. I hated those gophers.
I actually ran there like last week for the first time in a while. And it was just like, I just spent the whole time trying not to roll my ankle. So it's not really the best place to run.
I had a damn good time.
Yeah.
So like, how do you go from by the way, you said you finished NCAA, like All-American a couple times. Like, did you have like a pinnacle race? Was there a moment where you're like, I feel like I've somewhat made it? Was there like, I was like the section champion, something like that? Did you beat that one guy on your team that you always wanted to beat?
I would say the race, probably my best race was, I got second at the Pac-12 5K.
Badass.
Which like, yeah, second, it's not winning, but in college, I wasn't winning many races. So yeah, that one was pretty good. I mean, I think I ran 13:36. So I basically ran my PR, and then I think my last mile was like 4:08. So it was a really strong performance. And that's kind of the one where I was like, you know, I think I kind of got the most out of myself that day, and I just got beat by the better guy. There are certainly races where I felt like I was maybe not performing to my level. And so maybe that was the one that I was most happy with.
Hmm. One thing I noticed Don't take this the wrong way, but when you hang out with college athletes, they're tough and they've got great skills and they're super fucking fit. But then all of a sudden when they leave the bubble of this like perfect training, getting to go to the cafeteria with free food, their coach is telling them what to do. They have their dorms and everything all set up. Their parents are paying for their college. They got college loans, whatever the hell it may be. Then all of a sudden they come into the real world and they're just, their knees buckle a little bit. I would compete against these guys who had far better pedigrees than me.
Yeah.
But they just didn't have the chops to cut it in the real world and then get into that pro circuit. Did you have that at all or not really?
Yeah, I mean, I totally see that all the time. I mean, and I was really driven out of college because almost of what I was just saying, I felt like I was underperforming in college. And I was really driven to kind of prove almost just to myself that like, hey, I've seen what I've done in training and practice, and I know I'm better than how I've been racing. So for me, that was kind of the drive. But I, you know, one of my really good friends, his name was Pierce Murphy. He was an unbelievable runner in college. You know, just honestly, just straight up better than me. But he kind of almost like what you said, like he was so talented and such a good athlete, but he graduated college and he didn't have a great situation out of college, like a team and a coach that was there with him all the time. He kind of like moved to LA and was with his girlfriend, and I think he was sponsored by Skechers, but like, and he had a remote coach, and he never, like you said, he never really kind of hit those checkpoints along the way of like development, and his career just kind of faded away. And I mean, he doesn't run anymore. So I get that. I think there's people that they need that structure. They need the team. They really, you know, and I don't know, like there's people that just want to have people around and have a big team, but I'm just not one of the, like, I like kind of training alone. I mean, I certainly like being around people and, you know, especially swimming. I like having a group, but it doesn't bother me to just wake up and kind of push myself and, you know, set my sights on a big goal and work towards that. And So
out of curiosity, like, do you have a pack of guys you train with or a coach you train with?
So my coach, he lives in Tucson, Arizona. He splits time. So between Tucson and
Ryan Johnson,
Ryan Bolton. Yeah.
Ryan Bolton. Sorry. I knew it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries. So he kind of has a group of guys.
Oh shit.
And I'll go out there every so often and train with them. Or for example, over the summer we'll be in France and we kind of have like a little training location. We go over there. So we do kind of a pack, certain times of the year. Right now I kind of do a lot alone, especially running and biking. I certainly link up with people for swimming. That's kind of, if there's one, I could always have a training partner for it, be swimming. So there's,
swimming sucks, bro.
It makes a huge difference when you're not by yourself. God.
Yeah. So I definitely have, some swimmers I always try to link up with. But none of them actually have the same coach as me out in Colorado. So, we make it work, you know?
What is with Tucson?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, there's so many.
What's the altitude in Tucson?
It's like 3,000, maybe it's like 2,000 feet. It's like, it's honestly like an awful altitude because you really don't get a benefit and you just feel kind of a little bit worse than you expect.
I think people stop doing Colorado so much just because of the seasonal changes and they get more outdoor in Tucson, but they're not too far from driving up to altitude.
Dude, yeah. I gave up on fucking Boulder. I was pissed off by all the people there at the end. It was just starting to get so built up with people that were working at Google. Like, the average salary at Alphabet is like $290,000. And there was just a bunch of these like 30-something, 40-something-year-olds driving around their Teslas with just this big swinging ball sack between their legs, acting like they – and it was like this mixture of like liberals and like wannabe cowboys and somewhat of an art scene, a college scene, a this, a that. And I was like – I originally moved to Colorado for Durango. Have you ever spent time there?
No. I know Durango though.
But Durango's awesome. It's just, it is a true mountain town. And I felt like Boulder was trying to pretend to be something that it wasn't. and I got kind of fed up. And it was also in the middle of COVID, and I was getting screamed at for running on the trails without a mask on. I was like, you guys suck.
No, bowlers
running outside without a mask.
Dude, yeah, I know. I've heard so many stories of people getting yelled at for the during COVID for no mask. But yeah, man, boulders like that. I guess. I mean, I live in Superior now, so it's a little bit outside. Kind of a. I don't know. It's definitely less going on out here, which is kind of nice for me. I like it. So yeah, I mean, I say I live in Boulder, but really, it's I'm not dealing with all those Google guys, Tesla guys.
Are you wifed up or are you solo out there?
I live with my girlfriend. Yeah.
Whoa, things are getting serious, bud.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean,
is this a new endeavor or y'all freshly
living together?
Yeah.
It's been about a year. So,
Cool.
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, she got a dog. We got a dog. And then
that's always
just,
a trick.
I was just like, here so much more. I mean, I've already spent so much time here, but it just kind of, and then my lease with my friend ended. And yeah, it just kind of made sense. I mean, we've been dating a while, so it's not like groundbreaking stuff.
Set up? What's the sitch?
Actually, it's pretty funny. She right now, there's an upstairs bedroom and she's sleeping right now. I have that altitude tent in the downstairs bedroom. So I've been sleeping in that.
So you want to be up at higher altitude?
Yeah, I've been sleeping. So Boulder's like 5,000 feet. And last year I got the altitude tent and I just, you know, I've been kind of experimenting with it. So at first I was like 12, 14. I just sleep at
you up.
Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, the 14, that was an accident because I put it at.
You look like ET on the bed.
Yeah.
Well, I put it at 9. The limit in which they allow you to skydive without oxygen.
Yeah. I put it at 9,000 feet, but you add the altitude you're at. So we're at 5,000. So I was like, the first couple nights, I was like, Jesus, this is gnarly. But then I looked into it as I probably should have done before I set it up.
But just out of curiosity, don't you have to spend like 11 hours a day in the altitude tent?
You're already at altitude. I think since
like...
I'm at altitude, if I get like 9 hours in there, 8 hours, I feel better. Like when I get a few weeks in there, I really notice it, especially swimming on it, which is maybe surprising, but I just feel like amazing swimming. And that's kind of my weakness right now. So I'm like, I need to do this for my swimming.
Would you say altitude's a big game changer for you?
I think it is. I mean, I've lived here so long now that it's really, it's hard for me to be like, I almost don't know what it's like to not be training at altitude. Like I'll go to, for example, that workout I did with Parker, that was at sea level. I was in Austin for a few days and linked up with him. The workouts themselves, you definitely feel the difference, but it's hard to say. I mean, I do think it's, you know, I think if you're trying to, you know, medal at the Olympics or, you know, be the best, like it really, it's important. It's really important.
So in Superior, what altitude are you at?
5,000 feet, a little over five.
Yeah.
So not insane. So
my cabin's at 5,000 feet. And I'll go up to Big Bear and do like some of my zone 2 work up at 7,000 feet.
Okay.
And I'll just be doing that. And then afterwards, I'll be doing a training camp up at Park City, which is at 7,000 feet. Then I'll come down Valley to like Ogden, which is at 4,000 feet.
Yeah.
And just start like doing games like that all the way up until my championship. And then I think I'll spend like the last 2 weeks up in Switzerland, up at altitude, and then I'll drop down 3 days beforehand, come to Nice and race at the championships June 7th. So
yeah, I mean, it sounds like you got it sorted out, you know?
I came up with a protocol. I called the Altitude Training Center of London. Like I've come up with this whole situation.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the reason why I was living in Boulder and Durango is because our races, like originally I started out, I don't know if you know anything about what I've done for a career, but originally I started out doing Spartan races and Tough Mudders, and Spartan Race World Championships was at Tahoe from 6,000 to 9,000 feet. So you had to train at altitude to get ready for it, or you were just like, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And then eventually we started using altitude camps just for all of our events and to get ready for it. And you really noticed the difference. And the last like year, I kind of gave past 2 years, I kind of gave up on it because the events that I'm doing now are so biased to the amount of equipment that you have because we're doing so much gym stuff.
Yeah.
And like here at my place in Malibu, like I have the entire course set up. I can do it every single day without fail and nobody bothering me. So now what I do is I go up to altitude for 6 days a week, come down, do one specific workout, and then go back up over and over again.
That's like really the way to do it. You live high, train low.
Yeah.
So that's a really smart way to do it.
That's why I was wondering if the Tucson thing was something like, are they like on some mountaintop that we don't know about? Like, you know, Mountain Lemon.
Yeah.
And then they come down.
I've heard of a few guys doing that, but I just think it's more the people and the weather. Yep. A lot of pro cyclists just go out there and I just think it's also pretty cheap. Like it's a lot cheaper than Scottsdale or something like that in Arizona. So I think a lot
cheaper than Boulder.
Yeah.
Boulder sucks ass, dude. We were renting a house for $2,800 a month, which is not a ton.
Yeah.
But the wall, this is before it started to get popular. Like we got a really good deal. We were spending about, I think, $800 a bedroom. It was 3 bedrooms.
Yeah.
But I could touch the center of my room. I could touch all 4 walls from the center of the room. And I had a toilet next to it. I called the poop closet that was like basically a toilet where I could wash my hands while going to the bathroom. Like it was that small. And the walls were made of paper mache.
Yeah.
And then if you went on Zillow, it was listed at $700,000. I was like, this might as well be a painted cardboard box.
And now it's probably double that.
Yeah, I know. It's like 1.2, 1.5. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But he had his own private secret.
That's
and
right.
He refused to tell his roommate.
I told nobody. If any guests came over the house, nobody knew. I would put bags in front of the door and stuff, so it looked like it was a regular closet. But no, it was my poop closet.
Yeah, he put the bookshelf on it, so where it was like the secret closet and everything.
So, do you miss the pack mentality at all? Like being in college and just going to war with the guys every day?
No, for sure. I mean, I miss that. I miss like the social aspect. And just like the team aspect of, you know, in cross country, it's a team, you know, it's individual, it's a team sport though. And we won NCAAs twice when I was there, and every year we won Pac-12s, the conference. So that's just like, it's so much fun to be part of a team, you know, and be kind of working towards something. I mean, in triathlon, we have the relay in the Olympics.
That's what you competed in, right?
Yeah.
Why did the individual categories?
Yeah, I did both. I mean, I had a rough day in the individual, but so this going into Paris, we'll have the individual and the relay. And it's funny. I was texting my coach. I was like, we should do a relay camp. Like, I just think even in like a relay or a sport where it's pretty individual, I think having that team camaraderie of like trusting each other, believing in each other, like it really does make a difference on race day. And so if we can build kind of like, you know, we don't need to spend every waking hour together, but if we can have a little team chemistry, I think that really helps. So I definitely miss that about college. And
how do you feel about NAU? Like those guys are just a warrior pack.
Those guys are, there's first off, they're so impressive.
I don't know. I mean, dude, that Nico kid and everybody's right next to Nico.
Yeah, man. That I mean, it's unbelievable. Like you brought up my 5K of 13:36. Like that was a pretty good time when I was in college. You know, that'd probably rank me top 10 in NCAA time wise. Like now, that doesn't even make nationals. The guys are just running so unbelievably well right now that I think the training's really stepped up. You hear about them doing like the double threshold run workouts. You know, we're talking about train high, live low. Like NAU is kind of the capital of, you know, because they can get down to 3,000 feet, I want to say in 45 minutes, and they're living at 7,000. So it's really an amazing place to be an endurance athlete out there. And yeah, those guys are unbelievable. I mean, I'm glad like we beat NAU when I was in college. Actually, one of my good friends, Matt, he's a triathlete. He's trying to make the Olympics too. We kind of like go back and forth because he's always claiming NAU. Oh, they've won like 6 national titles. Like we have Nico. Like we're so much better than CU. I was like, yeah, but
we
were in college. CU was the spot to be. So like he's like, yeah, but I built the legacy, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, CU's not doing too well, so you got that on me.
Yeah, but you know that, dude. I mean, like, think about it. Like, the Patriots used to be the shit for, like, 10 years, and now nobody talks about the Patriots. Now it's the
Chiefs. Are they still a football team?
Yeah, I know. It's, like, it's embarrassing. But you guys had that, like, you know, that late 2000s kind of thing going on. You guys were beasts, and that's what matters, man. You had it when it was necessary, when you were there, which is – I think that's savage, man. I mean – so, like, that's something I'm curious about. Like, knowing what you know now, like, I think this is where everybody gets really excited. Like, what are some of the biggest things you've noticed? I'm sure you can't say everything because sometimes you like to keep secrets. But
like,
these people that are doing lactate testing and, like, doing it for every workout, like, what are your versions of that? Or you're like, if I could have started with this, this is what I've been using. I would have used for the past 10 years and 10 I'd years. I'd be a little bit further.
Well, to start, I'll just for the triathlon, because it's like 10 years ago, I was just a runner, but I'd say I would focus just on triathlon for this answer. I think the first thing is doing bike races. Like in 2020,
it's tough as fuck on the bike.
Yeah. And just, you know, biking is such a tactical sport. And just, there's so many decisions you make throughout, you know, a 2-3 hour race. And so 2 years ago in 2022, I was kind of injured for most of the season, running wise, but I could still bike. And I was just doing all these bike races just every weekend. And I just, not only they make you fitter, stronger, but it's just, you just learn so much about tactics and groups and drafting. And, so I think
you're handling
and handling. Yeah, for sure. And it just, and just being calm in like a tough situation. So I think that's the first thing I wish I started that right when I started the triathlon. Just being like, I know this is another cliche, but being consistent with the mileage and like the volume, you know, I think my first couple of years, I wasn't really tracking that as well as I probably should have. I was just, you know, so I don't even know. I was probably running like 30, 40 miles a week, biking 8-9 hours a week. Like you feel like in the moment you're training so much and it's hard and you're doing this, you know, I'm coming from running where we're only, you know, it's just one sport to doing all three. But like during COVID, it's stupid, but I started getting into Strava.
Dude, I'm addicted. That is
a dark hole to go down.
And it actually like changed my career.
Yeah.
Cause it like, I just would like log everything on Strava, and like I have a Training Peaks account where my coach would look at and all that. But I never like got into like, I wouldn't like be on Training Peaks. I would just upload it and be like, felt good, felt like shit. But on Strava, I was like, I got into it and I was like, you see that line of like consistent mileage. And that like, I think that's really helped me. I mean, and just tracking consistent.
It might sound ridiculous, but I really believe in that little fitness chart line. It's like, you are. I'm like, really? Really? That's where I'm at right now? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking man. Like, do you follow this thing? I want to see if I can bring it up on the screen. And I want to see.
I do have a quick question while Hunter pulls this up. When you said you got into bike racing, what kind of, were you doing crits? Were you doing like road?
I was doing, crits and road races. Okay. I've done a couple of gravel races too. But in that, it was that spring and summer of 2022 where I was just, it was a crit or a bike or a road race, or maybe like there's a lot of times the races out here would be like a road race Saturday and a crit Sunday, kind of in the same town. Okay. Yeah. So, and like, it was funny. Like I was cat three, which isn't that there's cat one, two races together, cat three, and then 4-5. So I was probably the strongest guy in the race, or maybe like one of the strongest guys.
Yeah.
But that you almost have to like, it's almost makes it a bit harder in the sense of like, everyone's looking at you to close the gaps, to close the attacks.
Or they're just sitting back playing you, trying to get you to do work. And you're like, damn. And that's where you learn a lot of tactical.
Exactly. or you experience. Get a team, you get teams. Yeah. And I was a solo rider, and it just, I just learned so much, man. And I just got so much calmer. Like, I bet you could go watch a triathlon from before that summer and you could see me. I'd probably tight on the bike, doing some questionable decisions. And then after, and you probably see like, oh, this guy's like a little bit more relaxed, a little calmer, making smart decisions. So
I finally found the fire, it. Man. Do you guys follow this line?
I look at it sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love this thing.
Yeah, if it goes down though, I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah. Periodization, dude. Like this is like the 3 month block, and I always look at it because I'll admit I'm always trying to set world records in our sport, and I will overtrain myself all the time. Yeah. And I have to be like, Hunter, if you could just move your training block 1 month sideways, because I always set a world record or do something absolutely astounding 4 to 6 weeks before my world championships, like just mind blowing. And then all of a sudden I'm like sweating in my sleep, not handling shit well, freaking the fuck out, just like shaking all the time. And then all of a sudden I have to lay down for like 3 weeks. And then I come out of the hole for about 2 to 3 weeks. And then I go race, but I'm always like, dude, you fucked this up. And so this year I shifted my whole block 1 month over and I'm perfectly on line with it.
That's so
everything's
smart.
Lining up. And I'm just like, in Strava, I'm not going to lie. Like I've always have coaches and everything, but unless you're with a coach all the time and you're also just giving them so much biofeedback, they just don't know. You're just like, hey man, like what did you hit for the mileage? I'm like, all right, here's my heart rates. Here are the thing. He's like, you're doing great. But then there's like these three other factors that you don't discuss with them. Like I also sweat all night last night and, you know, I took a shit and it was basically like loose brown coffee water. And like, you know, I know this is all disgusting, but those things
it's
matter.
Vital info.
Those
things matter.
I mean, I think to be a world-class athlete, like you have to listen, you have to be able to listen to your body. Like that's so important. Like that's more important than any lactate test or power test on the bike. Like it's listening to your body and kind of knowing, like it's almost like you, for example, you get on the treadmill and you set it at a pace and you're like, okay, I think I could hold this for an hour. Like within the first 2 minutes almost, like it's such a skill and like you hone in on over time, and you take it for granted I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you guys. Like if you're, I mean, maybe you're not doing an hour tempo on the treadmill, but I don't know. Maybe you are.
I don't do hour tempos anymore. Like I'll do cut downs.
Yeah.
Like I've never really been that kind of thing. I know this sounds nerdy, but in our sport, it's almost like cross country skiing, but imagine the double pulling sections are like 15 times the amount of weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to have like much more dense muscle fiber to be able to push our sleds or be able to do our motions because it's much more weight bearing. So what I've noticed is if I do workouts that are very long and sustained, it dips my overall horsepower. So I either do lots of zone two work or I do lots of interval work at sustained power output. And if I balance the two of those, I don't lose horsepower.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean, it's probably the reason why you guys don't do swimming in tempos. You probably almost always do intervals because it's just much better to kind of get reformed motion, but that's my opinion.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah, I don't like programming anybody like, oh, you've got 400 or 500s. And I'm like, I would never want to do that workout. And I know they have a place sometimes, but no, it's disgusting. I don't like doing anything over 200, really, but 300s are, for swimming. And I'm like, I remember I had a coach years ago and he was like, oh, you got 400 or 500s and then you've got, you know, X250s. And I was like, ugh,
yeah,
500s. Yeah, no, I'm not doing this. And then so I just didn't do it.
Yeah, no.
So I want to keep on getting nerdy with you before I forget this, because I had this whole section for you. So I understand that you started to track your stuff. So Strava would be one of your pieces, I would say, is one of those. Nutrition, like for somebody like yourself, or I immediately asked, like, you know, what's your weight at? What's your height at?
Yeah.
Like, do you measure your body fats? Like, do you have any of these kind of things? Like, are there pieces where, like, if you come into my house, dude, I have post-it notes alongside of my wall. I'm measuring my body fat, my body weight. I'm overly heavy for our sport, to be honest. But do you do any of these kind of things?
I certainly track my weight. I mean, I said I haven't weighed myself in like a couple of weeks. I'd say like a month out from a race, I start kind of stepping on the scale every day. I know, I mean, it sounds like you get it. I think some people are like scared to kind of talk about, you know, the weight, but you know, you want to be pretty lean to run pretty fast. And
dude, I mean, look at the pictures of you. Are you running, dude? Like you're cut.
Yeah, you want it. And like, that's definitely part of it. And honestly, like those pictures, like my Molly will come down and, you know, take a video of me running on the treadmill or whatever. And I like look at them and I'll be like, I know it's not a science, but it's like, you can, I'm like, I'm in shape, or like, I got a few pounds to lose.
Yeah. You know your body, and like, you know that, hey, when I'm eating this way, I'm training this way, and I physically look a certain way.
Yeah.
I can correlate that with performing a certain
way. And then I track and I kind of like step on the scale every morning.
Yeah.
After going to the bathroom and see where I'm at.
You guys got to give me 30 seconds. I drank too much coffee. Sorry.
Guys got to be.
Talk amongst each other. I'm sorry, boys.
But, man, now I totally get it. I've been trying to drop weight myself lately.
Yeah.
Because my body naturally, I'm 6'2". Like, I'm very similar build to Hunter. We're like 6'2". And my body loves to be 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I've been 180 before. And I'm sitting at like 190, and I'm like, okay, I'm usually, if I'm around 188 to 190, but I'm leaner and I can see myself being more vascular, I'm like, I usually end up, it's because everything's on point.
Yeah.
And I feel really good when I train. And if I all of a sudden, you know, like the scale, like if I'm super dehydrated, I'm like, whoa, that's a big weight drop.
Yeah.
Too close a time. And I will tell, I'm just sluggish.
Sorry about that, boys. I had to get that out of the system.
No, it's sorry. Go ahead.
go.
No, I was just going to say, like, I put on weight pretty fast. Like,
okay. Same.
Like, so this off season, actually right after Malibu, I was kind of injured and I went and see this doctor and he's like, oh, you're not taking enough protein. So he gave me this beef protein, like powder shake. And he's like, nice. Take this two
like grass fed, like pure beef whey. Like they have those companies now where it's just like,
it was just beef protein. Yeah. Like,
okay.
And so he said, take two scoops twice a day. And I also stopped training. Like I put on a lot of weight and that was really hard to get off. It took me a while, but I mean, I got healthy, I guess.
Okay.
Do you do much hill work? Like, do you go up into those mountains
for running or biking or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this time of year, it's kind of hard to get into the mountains, the snow, but there's a few mountain roads. I'll go to Magnolia Road, Gold Hill Road. I don't know if it's Gold Hill Road, but it's called Gold Hill. And then Ronsville. So those are kind of the mountain runs. I'll go up there for a long run. Next Saturday, I'm supposed to go up. And those are really hilly. And then, so that's kind of like the long, like you said, that would be more like a zone two run. And then I do kind of 200s, explosive hills. I started those about a year and a half ago. So that's like 200 meters. Maybe I'll do like 10 to 20. And maybe like, it's great. I have a hill. It's about a mile and a half away. And I just jog over that. And I measured it out the first day, but there's like a sign and then like another sign. So it's always the same exact 200 meter stretch. And I just do it. And it's like, it's kind of a power workout for me. I mean, 36 seconds or so, just really hard. And I'm breathing, you know, my eyes feel like they're popping out of my head. Like that's one of the harder workouts I do.
Dude, my coach had me doing 200s earlier this year and my muscle, like my connective tissue hurt.
On the hills.
No, I was doing flat on the track. I was flat, like, never do this stuff. He's like, we need to get your power output up. And I was like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
And I can show you videos of myself. Like the muscles in me, like it almost looked like my body changed. Like my muscle fibers changed.
What are you running those?
26s. I mean, like for me, for me, that's very fast for my size. And like, I've never been a speed guy. I'm that's a sustained anyone, power guy. Yeah, I got 26s, and like I thought that was pretty savage. And I would do 4 to 6 of them, and then I would start to do another set. It was a little bit slower, but at that point, I was like, I've cashed out. But I wouldn't do 20 at that pace. That's crazy, crazy.
Yeah, no. 26 is good. That's fast. Yeah.
What about, like, so with your nutrition, do you measure anything? Or are you just the kind of guy who's like, these are my meals. I eat these 4 or 5 meals consistently.
This is just for my build up to Paris, but I actually just kind of hired like a food service. It's called Rad Boulder, a real athlete diet. So I just get dinners and it's really been helpful. And it's actually been really like, she sends me the meal and then the protein and the calories in the meal. So for the past few weeks, actually it's probably been about over a month now, for dinner, I kind of been doing that for dinner every night. And then breakfast, I kind of eat similar stuff every day, just like eggs and oatmeal. And then lunch is usually the hard one for me. Not only I'm training a lot, and just in the middle of the day, it can be hard to just even like have the time to kind of cook a meal. So I'd say lunch is the one I struggle with the most. But I try to, actually lately I've just been, there's like Costco chicken noodle soup. I don't know if you've ever gotten that. So I get that. And then I just get like a ton of rice and just make a giant bowl. It's like quite dense. That's kind of been my go-to lunch as of late. So I would say I try to eat clean. That's kind of the mantra I'd say for my eating, eat clean. Measure,
Do you ever drink beer? Do you party at all?
Not really. Definitely not in the season. Like maybe in the off season. It's not like I'll never drink alcohol or anything like that, but it's not really like a,
let's say it was my birthday party on Saturday and I was like, yo man, like let's just get down. We haven't seen you in a while. Would you like show up with a seltzer water, or would you have like, a 6-pack with me to chill out and then just suck it up and get back to work on Monday?
Like, to be honest, I'll have a beer. Like I'll have one. So like I'd be social and have a beer. I probably wouldn't drink a whole 6-pack. Wow. But I would come, and I think I can be social with one beer and like have fun. I don't know.
No, I'm totally asking that person. I'm a 2 or a 20 guy. So I actually had my diagnostics coach come in and meet my strength conditioning coach. And we all went out to a steak dinner. And we went to a cigar place. My coach loves cigars. So I had half a cigar and like a little shot of bourbon, like this big. And then I had a glass of wine and another half glass of wine. And like, I did it for the flavors. Like I wasn't drinking up. So like you're having a cigar and you're having a little sip of bourbon, and somehow it combines with two of them, makes this interesting experience. And then all of a sudden you have steak and wine. And then I got my second glass of wine and I was like, I don't want this. So I left it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you all of a sudden it was your birthday and be like, dude, we're just going to get super lit at this cabin that I got, and we're going to have a huge bonfire, like I'd probably get pretty banged up.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't need to do that for a long time afterwards.
Yeah. No, I think that sounds a little bit like if it's the off season, like the season ends September, October, whatever, like I'd say between that and the end of the year, like I might go out a few times and have some fun, but it's just for me, I'm just so interested in the Olympics right now. Like I'm not even tempted to do that stuff. It's just for me, I'm just all in on Paris. Like this is my best chance to do well. And, it's really not even hard to like say no to that stuff for me at this point.
Just trying to understand your psychology.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that being said, like mindset, where do you pull from? Like, do you have like books? Do you have mantras? Do you have coaches? Do you just have anything? Like, let's just say all of a sudden you got like a wicked bad strain in the bottom of your foot and you're not going to be able to run for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, do you just go watch like Jean-Claude Van Damme movies for the next like 2 weeks straight on the bike trainer doing hard workouts? Or like, how do you get through stuff?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think, I'm trying to, 'cause last year I was quite injured and like, I actually got this weird like infection in my body that was like really slowing me down. So there was a point in the season last year where it was like, kind of like what you're describing. Like, I couldn't even really train at all for like a few weeks. It was, everything felt so shitty and I just need to rest. So I think honestly, in those first few days, it's almost better to just turn off and try to forget about it and just let your body heal a little. I think when you're like, when you see it all the time, you know, like, especially with runners where they, like, they'll get an injury. Like, let's say they get a stress fracture and then they just are like, all right, I'm going to cross train every day for like 5 hours. And they're used to doing an hour to 90 minute run every day. And they literally, like you're saying, they'll watch some like inspirational movie and get on the trainer and just try to like get really fit, but they're not letting their body heal. So I think when I do get something like an injury like that, I think the number one thing is like, how am I going to get over it as fast as I can? It's not really about like, how do I stay? It's almost like, if I can get back to running in 2 weeks instead of four and I have to take time off, I'll do that. So, but to keep inspired, I mean, I love when I'm on the trainer and I love watching old races, like just not even ones with me in it, just any race. Yeah. It just kind of gets me excited. Like, and it's great because being a triathlete, you can watch like bike races, swim races, running races, triathlon races. So yeah, like watching old races, that's really inspiring for me. And then like mantras, like I have,
you just repeat, like, mama didn't raise no bitch over and over.
Yeah, no, I just like, I was just like, think like never give up and like find a way. These are kind of mantras I go to because it's just like, you just like to find a way. Like, it's just when you're like shit out of luck, you just got to like figure out how to get to where you want to be, you know? I remember that first year in like 2018 of a triathlon, like I was just like, I had like a very nice start to the season and then I was just sucking. I got lapped out of that race. I was getting like in the back 40. And I was just like, I just got to figure this shit out. Like, once I figure it out, I know I'll be like really hard to beat. So just like, yeah, just, I don't know if that's answering your question, but, just the self-belief, the watching races to kind of get inspired and working towards, you know, those goals. And yeah, it's just, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It does. Everybody's got their own formula for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, in wrapping up the show, I kind of want to just figure out so we can cheer you on from afar. Like, what are your big goals this year? Like, obviously you're going to the Olympics, but you've done that before. So like, what are your goals for this round?
Yeah. I mean, I want to, so for me, I'm racing in May, WTS Yokohama, and then WTS Italy, Cagliari. And then I'll race, in Hamburg, Germany, like two or three weeks before Paris and then the Paris Olympics. So, before the Olympics, I really want to try to win one of those WTSs. I've been second a handful of times, but I never have actually won a WTS. So right now that's what's driving me, trying to win Yokohama. And then for the Olympics, I mean, the goal is really to try to win. I mean, I have kind of a time goal, for the run. And like, I write, you know, I write down my goals and the goal is like run this time from the lead pack. So we get off the bike and hopefully I'm with the goal is be with the leaders and then run. If I can run that time, I think I can, you know, of course their tactics and everything's important. And when I get, you know, I'm not going to run like an idiot just to run a certain time, but it's kind of making it more of a process. You know, I'm building towards like an actual thing versus just beat everyone. So that's kind of the goal for Paris, like go there, be in shape to run this time from the, like be in shape to be with the leaders, be with the lead pack. And then hopefully be able to, if I have to run really fast and that, I think that'll make a chance.
What's the date of the race?
The Olympics. I want to say it's July 29th.
Heavy duty, dude.
Or something like that. Yeah.
I think I'm going to make some of the Olympics. I don't know if I'll be around for that day.
Is your world champs in Nice again?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was in Manchester last year. It's Nice this year, June 7th. Luckily, like it won't be so hot, but I went to Nice two summers ago in August. And it was unbearable. Like
really?
it was like walking into a microwave that was on. You're like, ah,
it was when you came down here. Hot.
Yeah, dude. And like, I went down and did a training camp with these sick bastards in Austin, Texas last summer, and that was miserable.
Oh my gosh. So,
yeah, and it's even hotter down here. I'm south of Houston, and it just, ugh.
Yeah, Austin. I'll go to Austin every so often, and it's so hot there. Like, I was actually there last weekend. It was the first time I've ever been down there, and like, felt good on a run, not sweating everything, and yeah.
I don't really want to be in, like, even Boulder in the summertime can get brutal.
Yeah, it gets hot. It's not as humid though.
Yeah, I know it's not humid. I'm just surprised that more people, like endurance athletes, don't do the California thing. Like, I can train 350 days out of the year, even in the summertime, because it's got that colder ocean breeze, mm-hmm. with just like crazy amounts of volume and no stress. There's a fair amount of places that I go to where I'm just like, dude, there's like, you know, 30%+ of the year that it's not trainable. Like, you remember when all the wind, I don't know if you guys are still getting really bad wind, but a couple of years ago, I was living in Boulder for 2 years straight. There was just wind storms in the middle of the winter time.
Yeah.
They were unbearable. Like, you couldn't get on the bike. You could barely run.
Yeah, no, the winds, no, it sucks because it'll be really cold in Colorado and Boulder area. And then you'll get a warm day. Like, you'll see on your, like, your app, whatever. Oh, it's supposed to be 60 next Wednesday. As soon as it gets warm, the wind just comes in and it's like, I don't want to go out in that. Like, I can't bike in that. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's still like that.
We had that Saturday. My buddy and I went out and we had that shitty, rainy, awful weather.
Yeah.
And Saturday it was like 60, no clouds. I was like, damn, dude, it feels like Southern California out here. But the headwinds were.
Yeah. Dude, the wind sucks. I mean,
we caught a tailwind for like 20 minutes and we were cruising.
Yeah.
At over 25 miles an hour. And we were like, dude, this is amazing.
Yeah.
The heart rate's low. And then all of a sudden, the whole rest of the ride, we were averaging like 18, just smashing the pedals.
Yeah.
Why does everybody do Boulder? Why do no endurance athletes do like Salt Lake or Utah somewhere? You just don't hear about it. What's going on in Boulder? Is it because they all left the college and just started their pro careers right there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. Like, for triathlon, I will say it is a really good place to, you know, train as a triathlete, because the run, I mean, obviously the run, there's the, you know, the dirt roads out there in North Boulder, really good running. But for cycling, it's got, you know, you can ride flat and do flat intervals, flat rides, all that sort of thing. And then you can go up in the mountains too. And I personally, I'm for in New Jersey, when I go home to New Jersey and get on my bike and ride around, it's so sketchy. Like, the cars just, it's just, there's no cycling culture out there.
Yeah.
So to have like the, just the, it's a culture thing too, you know, like,
yeah,
cars will go like treat bikes like people and not just like
a cone that they're about to run over.
Yeah, so that's, you know, safeties.
Did you ever train?
What's up? Sorry.
Do you ever train with Sam Long while he was out there?
It's funny. I have my coach now used to coach him.
Yeah,
and I ran into him a few times. Actually, I've swam with him. Yeah, so I've trained with him. I mean, not a ton. We always like talk about linking up, but he's in Tucson a lot more now, and I'm not. So
he was sponsored by the same company I was, which was BOA, and
yeah, I was sponsored by BOA Blast.
Yeah. I love the stuff, dude. I still have cans that I find like all like out. I just changed my whole gym out, and there's just like cans kind of like hiding in different places, because I just like do workouts. I'm like,
yeah. What was the yellow one? People like
Ignite.
People like, yeah. I'll be like, yeah, here's, try this one. But they really like the yellow. It just tastes like candy.
I know, dude. It was amazing. So when we were doing our Ironmans, we were like just like blasting the stuff all the time. We had unlimited cans. So it was like, this is a blast.
I
remember I had some. I was like, I like this.
Yeah. It's a little crack candy. I actually like the salt one. That actually felt like you like were doing a drug. You're like, woo, let's go.
I love that. Yeah, I absolutely love it because it was a little sweet, salty, and I love that combo. It was so good.
The salt was good too, because like, it's pretty convenient. I would just keep it in my swim bag, and I'm like, I'm always getting calf cramps swimming.
Yeah.
And so I would just keep it in just every swim practice, just spray like 5 seconds or whatever, like extra.
Get yourself a big blast. Yeah. And just be like, yeah, baby. Oh, man. Well, dude, I hope to train with you someday. Honestly, yeah. I got a couple more years of my career, and it'd be nice to get some workouts with you. I am astounded. Like, I don't have a power meter on my bike, and I look at you do some workouts on your bike, and I'm like, are you that much more powerful than me? Because I'm on my Concept 2 bike, which is like a fan bike with like a power meter attached, and I'm doing FTPs and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, these guys are that much stronger than me, or is my bike just suck? Because you're like crazy numbers.
Yeah, you did one the other day. It was like 325 for an hour, and it was zone 3 essentially.
Yeah. That was a solid workout for me. I don't know much about the Concept bikes. Sometimes I'll warm up when I do like a lifting session. I do like salt 5 bike. Minutes. Yeah. 5 minutes warm up, but if you're really that interested, like
get a Wahoo
bike trainer, that you could kind of attach, because those have power meters on them.
I just got the Core trainer.
Yeah.
And of course, I broke my bike the first week it was here, so I finally have all the pieces coming. Yeah. And it's gonna come together, and I'm gonna start riding it. Like, I crashed my bike pretty badly a couple weeks ago on a mountain bike, like a fucking idiot, and I'm upset with myself. So I bought myself for my birthday a trainer just to be inside and be super safe for like the last 8 week.
I mean, you'll get really good. The trainer, you were asking like things when you started that you wish you did. Like, I do almost all my interval sessions on the trainer now. Mm-hmm. I started that probably in 2021. So it's been, I'm just so much stronger. My numbers maybe are not, I used to go to a hill climb and do like a 20-minute power, and then maybe it's better than what I'm hitting inside. But then I get in a bike race or a triathlon, and I'm like, I'm so much stronger. I'm so much like, I just feel better. So that'll help you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said, I wouldn't compare the Concept 2 to like a real bike. I just think that it's totally different. So,
yeah. Well, I'll go out there and I'll compete against workout with my buddies, and they have power meters, and they're like, dude, we were holding such crazy watts. And I was like, this is fucking easy compared to my Concept 2 bike workout. This is crazy. That was, I was going to say to you, I just had a total brain fart. I don't know what to tell you, man, but listen, I'll be watching closely. Like, we're pumped to see you do your thing, man. Like, honestly, the one thing I can say to people is like, at least the last couple of years of my career, I've recognized is as long as you're always chasing beating a version of yourself, you're always winning. So I would just say, start from that standpoint. If I can give you any advice going into the Olympics, like, beat yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're really as good as you think you are, which I believe you are, you represent Team America, beat yourself, and then you'll beat the world. And I'm just always in here having that battle with myself. And as long as you can have that continuous cycle of beating yourself every single day, man, you're going to get exactly where you want to go. And I've been watching you from afar for months now, and I'm like, this guy's savage. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. That's why I started watching you. Do you like doing the majority of your speed work on your treadmill inside, or are you more of an outdoor guy?
I like both. It's funny how you're like, you beat that Woodway to shit. I bought a Woodway right before COVID, and it was used, and it broke and then so I bought this new one like last year, and I think the longer I've had it, the more I've kind of appreciated using it. I would say the speed work, like the 200s, I would prefer to go outside, but like
sustained work, I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like the tempo five, work, 10 minutes, it's really nice. It's really controlled. Like, you kind of get in that like zone that you want to be in, whether, zone 2, zone 3, whatever. And you just kind of like, it's really easy to sustain because it's, flat or same. The pace isn't undulating. You don't have to turn. So I think it's a really good tool. I do think going outside is really important. For me, like, I think if I did everything on the treadmill, it might not be the best idea and translate to a race.
Do you, when you run on the treadmill, do you leave yours at zero, or do you do like the 1.5?
I do one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It does make a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of people that are like, hey, man, that I thought you said the treadmill was harder. It's easy. And I'm like, did you put the treadmill at 1 or 1.5? Yeah. And they go, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I do that next time. They're like, dude, that was awful.
And like I've heard people be like, oh, you really need to go to 2. But I mean, I'm training at altitude. So if I – 1's good. You get like kind of the muscle. Like I feel like it's more like running outside. And then if you – like kind of like you said, the overspeed. Because sometimes that's the problem with training at altitude. As I'm sure you know, like you can't hit the same – output. So I'm right, happy guys, to get one.
You guys got to help me make a decision.
Yes.
I've got this guy coming. He's very talented, but he's not nearly as fast as me coming over to do my workouts. I got 3 by 8 minutes and I'm faster than him. And he may last with me for like the first like 3 to 5 minutes, but there's no way he'll make it to the end of each one. We have a follow truck following us and giving us like fuel the whole time and everything. Should we have him run alongside of me and then jump in the truck when he gets tired and do this workout outside, or just be on 2 treadmills alongside of each other for the whole thing? What's the vote, boys?
I think
I would just ask him.
What's your relationship with this guy?
We have a good relationship in the way that we're like friendly, like you and I are. Like we're not best friends, but it'd be like if you and I did a workout and you're like, hey man, I got 3 by 8. If you want to try to hold me at like 4:45 for the first 3 to 5 minutes, and then I'm going to keep on moving for the next like 3 by myself.
Yeah.
So be it.
Then like I would just go outside and then be like, you hold on as long as possible, hop in the truck and then come recover with me and then hold on, because it'll actually make him much stronger just chasing you down.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna like. If he can handle like being humbled, and he's like he's a cool guy and isn't gonna be a little baby after, I think going outside's good.
You can say bitch; it's fine.
we use the big B words in this household. All right, fine. I'll take him outside and take him into the deep water.
Yeah. I've been with runs like that. They're like, well, no. And I'm like, nah, dude, come on, drop me. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I know somebody is stronger or faster than me. I don't hold that against them. I'm like, that's on me.
Yeah.
It's tough, dude. I got 2 treadmills now for this like reason. Like, I can't get many people to work out outside with me anymore because they just get gapped. I mean, like if I was in groups of guys like you, I actually offered to pay people money in LA to come train me. I was like, if I can get somebody who can do a 15-minute 5K, I'll pay you per session to come run with me.
Would you ever like give him a head start and kind of chase him down?
Oh, I totally would. Oh, I used to do that with my ex-girlfriend. Yeah. I loved doing that game. It was fun.
Like ask him what he thinks he can hold and kind of do the math and like so you kind of finish together.
I'll catch that fucker.
Yeah. I mean, because then you get kind of get that carrot to chase and he's
Yeah.
When you're doing workouts, do you do heart rate or do you just look at pace?
Mostly just for the run, pace, and then power on the bike.
Yeah.
I saw somebody's you were doing some workout and you're like, is that zone 2? And you go, what's zone 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, the zone 2 section thing is on your page funny.
Is pretty actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, brother, dude, it's been an absolute blast. You're a beast, man. We want to see you tear it up in Paris, man. I'll get my title, you get your title, whoop the shit out of the French.
Yeah, I'll be beat the French, man. I'll be watching you and like hopefully we can link up for something. I'll pace you for your 15-minute 5K.
There you go. I need some help. In reality, like so when you get over there, I know you have your last one in Hamburg. That's in June sometime.
No, it's beginning of July.
Yeah. Okay, beginning of July. Okay, so we're around, dude. I actually might be doing seminars around there, so I might be able to come watch.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
And where do you like bunker down for the last couple weeks?
We go to this place called Vichy, France. It's like a train. It's kind of a sports training center. It's pretty nice.
Is it the one at altitude?
No, that's Font-Rameau. So Vichy, it's sweet though. The room I'll sleep in is like altitude. Chamber.
Really? Oh, the room has been.
Yeah, I'll sleep and I'll spend my day like, you know, whatever the 11 hours or whatever I need at altitude, and then go out and train. It's actually perfect because I'll hit some really fast hard workouts before and get that sea level air and higher power and faster speeds, and then
this is dope, dude.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I'll let you get to your day, man. I know you got a ton of stuff probably going on. I'm going to go kick the crap out of this poor guy.
Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah,
oh, dude, wait. He's coming right now.
He's coming right now, dude. We're meeting at 9:30, and I've been, like, sitting here so torn. His name's Jake.
We just decided this guy's fate.
Is he a writer? Or is he shows up.
So in our sport, Hyrox, like, it's interesting. It's, since it's so new, there's a lot of, like, ebbs and flows, and they haven't created the perfect avatar yet.
Okay.
It's interesting. Like, when you get into the Elite 15, almost every guy is 6 feet tall or taller, like right around
175
there.
175 to 185.
Yeah, 175 okay. to 185. I'm the outlier of the heavier guy, but everybody's right in this window. And
is that by choice?
What, the weight?
Because you're like, you're very muscular. Like, is that, or do you want to keep the muscle, or is that just you train for the race and that's kind of how your body is?
Dude, truth be told, so I was around your size when I graduated high school. I was like 5'11", 155 pounds.
Yeah.
And I had to take a ton of medication. They're like, you're an ADD kid. So they were giving me Ritalin, Adderall, like all this stuff. So I had this like never ate. So when I got out, I started eating and I became a logger in Montana and I shot up to 6'2", 215. And my body has just been like big ever since.
Okay.
And I was a great cross country runner, never like Mr. All American National, but I was a great runner in high school. And now all of a sudden I had this crazy engine on top of this really big body. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I always loved endurance sports. So I kept on going back in. I found that I can bring myself down to like 180 pounds, but I mean, I just look like ET and I feel like ET.
Yeah.
I recognize where I'm at. Like my strength is such an advantage and I can still outrun these guys for the most part. It's not a problem, but this year I'm intentionally getting lighter because I know that it will benefit. It just, it sucks. Cause now I measure all of my food. Like while I've been hanging out with you, I've been just drinking like coffee and water and BCAAs like all day long. Like that's all I get to eat now. But the advantage I have is just power output. Like it'd be like holding watts on the bike. Like imagine if you went up 10 pounds, but you're holding an extra 80 watts on the bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it worth it? For me, it is.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I just, yeah. And like, I mean, personally, I'm kind of the same way. Like I have weights I know, but that's not like, it's because I've done it for so long now that I kind of know where I need to be for me. It's not, oh, this guy weighs 150 pounds, so I need to get there. It's kind of like what's right for your body. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm finding my sweet spot. All right, brother, I'm going to end the stream. Hold on. Hold on. End stream. Save it.